Blog Talk Radio.
Radio coverage for your Miami
Radio's Miami Heat pregame show. I'm Joshy Lord, and I am joined by my co-host, Sylvia, please say your name because I'm going to mess up the last name again.
It's okay, John. Guevara.
Stephanie Diaz. That's right. We've got the trio back. Stephanie, let everybody hear you real quick.
Hi, guys.
All right, and we have a great game ahead of us tonight. The Miami Heat are traveling to Michigan to play at the Palace at Auburn Hills and take on the Detroit Pistons. It's the first of three matches in the season series between the two teams, and I'm super excited for this game. I've been waiting for it all week. Real quick, we're going to go through the starting lineups for both the Pistons and the Heat, of course, starting with the Pistons. And give you who we think wins the matchup between both of those. All right, first we're going to start, like I said, with the Pistons. At point guard, Reggie Jackson. At shooting guard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. At small forward, Marcus Morris. At power forward, Ersan Ilyasova. And at center, Andre Drummond. And for the Miami Heat, at point guard, out of Slovenia, Goran Dragic. Shooting guard, out of Marquette University, Dwayne Wade. At small forward, filling in for Luol Deng, who last I saw was out with a hamstring injury. Gerald Green, who jumped prep to pro, so I don't have a college name for him, and I haven't looked up his high school. At power forward, from Wake Forest University, Chris Bosh. And at center, from Marshall University, Hassan Whiteside. All right. Stephanie, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think wins the point guard matchup between Reggie Jackson and Goran Dragic?
To be honest, I'm going to go with Reggie Jackson on this one. Reggie Jackson for the Pistons are one of the greatest players for this team. And he's been averaging 19.4 points among 4.2 rebounds and 5.9 assists. And he's just a strong player where Goran Dragic, he's done really good in his past games, but it's going to be really hard to beat Reggie Jackson. So Reggie Jackson wins this one.
All right, Sylvia, what's your take on this matchup?
I must agree with Stephanie. You know, I'm going with Reggie Jackson just because Reggie Jackson scored, as Stephanie said, 19 points. And Dragic has been just inconsistent throughout the season. He's on, he's off, he's on, he's off. So we never know when he's going to step up in every single, even though he had the best game, the last game he had, you know, that was his best game of the season. I'm just going to go with Reggie Jackson because he's been consistent, 19 points per game. So there you go. Reggie Jackson wins the matchup for me.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. Reggie Jackson and has the edge in this matchup, and he's been one of the most improved players so far this season. I remember when I heard the Pistons signed him to a max contract, I was like, why are they doing that? Why? Who else was going to pay Reggie Jackson money? And now I see what happens. And he's got a very good chemistry with big man Andre Drummond. Their pick and roll is one of the deadliest in the league right now. I might even venture to say more deadly than Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside's pick and roll.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the most efficient ways to score. Reggie Jackson's a lightning quick guard. He's going to give both Dragic and Wade a nightmare just keeping track of him on the pick and roll. Because if you go over it, he's fast enough to split the defenders. And if you go under it, he'll find an open shooter, or he might just take the three-pointer himself. Even though he hasn't been the greatest three-point shooter this season, he is averaging 31.7% from behind the arc right now.
Which is huge, yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on down the lineup. We've got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the third-year guard out of Georgia, going up against Dwayne Wade. Sylvia, Stephanie went first last time. What's your take on this one?
Well, even though I don't know much about Pope, but I'm just going to go by, you know, watching the Heat season and watching Wade throughout the season. I'm going to go with Wade because he's a veteran. He knows how to step up. Even though if he's off on offense, he can step up on defense, you know, rebound. He could have steals. You know, he could be on offense at any time during the game. He could step up in the fourth quarter, as we've seen before. So I'm going to go with Wade just because I haven't seen Pope. I don't know much about him. So I'm going to go with the veteran, Dwayne Wade.
All right. Stephanie, what about you?
I'm going to give this win to Dwayne Wade. Kentavious has a really good stat, 13.8 points per game, 2.4 rebounds. I'm going to give this one to Wade because he does have the experience, and it's like Sylvia said, Wade has this really great defense. He's a little off on the offensive side, but defense, he's the one that contributes to the Miami Heat's great defense that they have. So definitely I'm going to give this one to Dwayne Wade.
All right. I agree with you guys, but I think it's a little closer than both of you are giving it. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I've been keeping an eye on him since he came into the league out of Georgia. He's definitely going to be a name you've got to keep your eye on. He's on the rise. His numbers have been improving every season he's been in the league. Right now, he's actually up to 33.8% from behind the arc. And defense, he is one of the reasons why the Pistons have a top seven scoring defense, and they're ranked seventh in defensive rating as a team. And he is a big part of it. He typically takes on the opposing best outside scorer, and he's been doing a pretty good job of it right now. So I'm still giving Wade the edge because he can bring it on the offensive end more than Pope brings it on the defensive end night in and night out. But Pope would give Wade a hard night tonight, and that wouldn't surprise me. All right.
Right.
Moving on down. We've got Marcus Morris, one of the Wonder Twins, against Gerald Green. These two were actually teammates last season in Phoenix. Both left under different circumstances. Gerald Green was a free agent. Marcus Morris was traded in a move that was, neither he or his brother were thrilled about that. Now, Stephanie and Sylvia, had either of you heard about the unique contract situation between the Morris twins?
I haven't.
No.
Okay, so when they both signed extensions with Phoenix last year, and mind you, during their rookie years where they were on different teams, they really couldn't play well together. So it's been a running joke that they are the Wonder Twins of the NBA, and they just play better whenever they're on the same team. And they actually took a discount, and they have their contract going into the same all the combined money of their contract going into the same bank account, which they split 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can imagine that they were less than thrilled when Marcus was dealt to Detroit over the offseason. His twin brother, Markieff, actually said that he wasn't going to play for Phoenix. He is playing right now, but you can see a noticeable slump in his production. Marcus, on the other hand, hasn't seen that slump. He's been doing pretty good. Isn't shooting as well from three as you'd like him to. Right now this season, he's only at 23%. Which is where you need to stop taking threes because you are heading into the Josh Smith area of three-point shooting, which is worse than me in high school from behind the arc, and that's really bad. But I'm still going to lean with Morris in the matchup with Gerald Green. Even though Green's been giving us a lot of energy off the bench, he hasn't been the same player that he was before he missed those six games. He's still getting his shot back. He's still not in rhythm. And I'm not entirely sure his conditioning is going to be there to play for 30 minutes tonight.
Right.
Sylvia, what do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh. You know, even though I haven't seen much of Morris, the numbers tell everything. Green, like as you said, has not been the same since he got suspended. And I see Morris, he's been playing 36 minutes. That's a lot of minutes to play in a game, you know. It's 40 minutes per game. So, you know, he's averaging 14 points with Green has been doing as of lately. You know, he has, 6.5 rebounds? That's a lot of rebounds more than Green. Two assists per game. So I'm going to give the edge to Morris just because Green hasn't been the same since he got suspended.
All right, and Stephanie, who do you think's got the advantage in this matchup?
I'm going to agree with you and Sylvia. I'm going to say Marcus Morris is going to win this matchup. And it's like what Sylvia said. Green is coming back from a suspension, and he's still trying to get back into the rhythm of when he first came into the team. On top of that, his numbers are pretty low, the way he's been averaging in his last games. But at the same time, I just feel that he doesn't have enough experience to stay on the court as a starting lineup. So definitely I'm going to give this one to Morris.
Okay. Sorry about that. At the four-man position, we've got Arisa and Ilyasova against Chris Bosh. Stephanie, what's your take on this matchup?
Okay. I was actually looking at this and wondering, who would win this matchup. I'm going to go with Chris Bosh on this one, only because I know more about Chris Bosh than I do about the other player. So I'm just going to go with Chris Bosh on this one.
Sylvia, what about you?
I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with Chris Bosh just because he's a veteran. He knows how to step up in every single game on offense and defense. And as we know, Chris Bosh has been better on the rebound as previous years. And, you know, I'm just going to go with Chris Bosh just because he's a better player, veteran player. He knows when to step up. He knows what to do. So I'm going to go with Chris Bosh.
Okay. I agree with you that Chris Bosh definitely has the advantage in this game. But don't short sell Ersan Ilyasova, a.k.a. Turkish Thunder. I never knew he had that nickname. He's been in the league for 7 years, spent his first couple of years in the league with Milwaukee before being traded, moving to Detroit this offseason. But he is a dangerous stretch four man. He's currently averaging 42% from behind the arc, which is just a phenomenal number to be shooting. That's from the field. Oh, wow, even better from behind the arc, 43.1%. He's a talented player, but Chris Bosh is an all-star level power forward, and it'll take a miracle or a whole bunch of injuries to happen for Arizon Ilyasova
right.
to make the All-Star game, if you ask me.
Right.
So, yeah, Bosch has this. They do similar things, but Bosch is just better. And also, Bosch is a much better rebounder than Ilyasova
right.
is. Just looking at this, Arizon Ilyasova is only averaging 3.6 rebounds per game. Which, I mean, given that he's playing next to Andre Drummond, isn't a big concern. But for most teams, if you're only getting three rebounds out of your starting power forward, that would be a major cause for concern. Comparing him to what Chris Bosh is averaging, 9.4 rebounds per game,
exactly.
that there alone is why I'm giving Bosh the edge. And he just does so many things better than Ilyasova. And finally, the matchup that I am super excited for, Andre Drummond against Hassan Whiteside. All right, I'm gonna go a little crazy talking about this matchup a little later, so I just want to hear what you two think, who has the advantage on this one.
You might be surprised, Josh. I'm going to go with Andre Drummond just because he has more rebounds than Whiteside, averaging 17.6 rebounds per game. That's insane. And almost 40 minutes per game. That's more than Whiteside. And,
and
on top of that, he has more points than Whiteside, 18 points per game. So definitely he's a great center that's going to dominate the league throughout the years. So to your surprise, Josh, I'm going to go with Andre Drummond dominating the center position.
You know what? Yeah, because you tend to be a diehard homer for the Heat. So
exactly.
I have to say, I am a little surprised at you making this choice. Stephanie, what do you think?
Oh, this one's actually a very hard one for me to choose. I'm actually agreeing with Sylvia on this one, that Andre Drummond is going to probably win this matchup. Well, I do know that Hassan Whiteside, his defense is on point this year, and he's done pretty good in improving from his last games. Andre Drummond seems like a pretty advanced player, and just his numbers scare me out of all the other players on the Piston team. So I'm going to give this one to Drummond.
Okay. All right, and before I go a little crazy talking about what I think is the key matchup, and I feel like everybody can figure out which one I think is the key matchup in the starting lineup.
Right.
Let's look at the benches. I give the Heat the advantage by this by 100 miles. Want to know who the sixth man has? Who the guys off the bench who are averaging the most minutes for the Pistons are so far this season?
Would you say Blake?
No. Oh, dear God, no. No, not anymore. Steve Blake.
Not anymore.
Nope. But it might be time to hang it up. Rookie Stanley Johnson, who is a very good player, but like I said, he's a rookie, and only a handful of rookies are truly impact players. And Anthony Tolliver, who's been in the league for 7 years, and I found that out by going to his basketball reference page right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
20 minutes. And he's 30. He's old for an NBA player.
I wouldn't say that's old. Tim Duncan is still doing his thing, and Kobe Bryant. And,
but 30 is kind of old for – it's getting there.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. All
right. Right.
So what do the two of you two think? You know what? Actually, I think I can call this for all of us. Miami's got the advantage in the bench. If you just look at the numbers that some of the starters for Detroit are playing, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is averaging 36.8 minutes. Marcus Morris is averaging 36.6 minutes. Andre Drummond, a center, is averaging 35.8 minutes. I don't care if you're 22 years old. When you're 7 feet
That's
tall,
insane.
You probably shouldn't be playing that many minutes.
Right. I hate to say this, but as a center, that's going to hurt him in the future. To
play
almost 36 minutes per game, that's crazy. Your knees, as tall as you are, 6'11", that's going to hurt
in the future. And now, getting into the key matchup, Drummond versus Whiteside.
Right.
Sylvia and Stephanie, you're actually going to be surprised because I'm calling this one dead even.
No,
I've got the numbers to back this up because Whiteside and Drummond are two of the guys who have been the breakout stars of this season, especially at the center position. Everybody was coming in this season saying, yeah, this is where Andre Drummond or Marcus Cousins proved that they are the top two centers in the league, but they're getting a run for their money from these two guys. The most imposing players on the court. Hassan Whiteside is 7 feet and 265 pounds. Andre Drummond, 6'11", 279 pounds.
Heavier.
But, and it's all muscle. It's not like he's a chubby Shaq running up and down the court. This guy can move. And both make you think twice when you're driving into the paint, okay? So I took a look at some of the advanced stats that they have to kind of put defensive impact into perspective. So these are Andre Drummond's numbers so far this season. When he's guarding them, opponents are shooting 55.7% from the field, which, that's not too bad. That's not great, but it's not bad, especially for a center. He's averaging 1.4 blocks per game. He's got a defensive rating of 93. And to put that in reference, anything under 100 is considered above average, and he's got a defensive plus-minus of 2.4. So, Whiteside, he's a talented offensive player, but he really makes his money on the defensive end. He's leading the league in opponents' field goal percentage. They're only shooting 41.6% when he's within 4 feet of them when they're taking shot. He's averaging 4.8 blocks a night. He's got a defensive rating of 86, which is the best in the league right now. And his defensive plus minus is plus 6.2, which is also the best in the league. These two also, like I said, are very efficient on the offensive end, and they are glass eaters. Whiteside is averaging 11.1 rebounds per game, 14.5 points per game, and shooting 60% from the field. Andre Drummond is averaging 17.6 rebounds per game, which is leading the league by a good two horse lengths. 18.1 points a game. He's leading the league in 20-20 games right now, and 53.8% from the field. So, do the two of you see why I'm basically calling this matchup a dead even?
I see it, Josh. Whiteside's going to win on the blocks because he's getting more blocks, 4.5 blocks per game, which is, you know, as you said, he's leading the NBA. But the rest of the numbers, Drummond is definitely higher than him. To have 18 points per game, that's huge for a center. And to be averaging almost 36 minutes per game, I think that's too much for a center. I understand because the Pistons don't have the most talented players or the most effective players. But that's just going to kill his future. 36 minutes per game, that's not good for a center to be playing that long because he's tall, 6'11".
Yeah, and I mean, somewhere down the line, these minutes are going to come back to bite him. I don't know if it's going to end up stifling his career, but at some point, it's just extra miles.
I think it is.
One last number I've got here's one last number I've got to throw at you guys for the two of these two players. Neither of them are very good from the foul line. I mean, Hassan Whiteside is shooting a painful 53.4% from the shooting stripe. Andre Drummond is, and this is a career high for him so far, 44% from the free throw line.
Wow.
So it might come down to who wins the free throw battle between these two guys. And Whiteside should have the advantage. But, yeah, basically I have in my notes, whoever wins that matchup is going to give their team the advantage and probably going to decide the outcome of the game.
Right.
Real quick, what do you two think are the keys for the Pistons to get the win tonight?
Go first, Stephanie.
No. Okay. I definitely think that for the Pistons, they should probably bring out the chemistry that's in their bench and give a rest to their starting lineup. As you said, Drummond is averaging 30 minutes per game, so that's not good for him, and it's not good for the other players that are out there for so long. They're counting too much on their starting lineup and not counting on their bench line that needs improvement either way and needs to know the chemistry that's on the court. So definitely, I think the Pistons, in order to avoid having to tire out Drummond so that he can play better when they actually need him later on in the game, is to definitely go switch back and forth between their benches and their starting lineup.
Hey, Stephanie, I've watched Detroit play a couple of times. Chemistry isn't the problem with their bench. It's just talent.
Well, there you go.
Bench isn't good.
Wow.
Do you know who Aaron Baines is?
I do not.
Never heard of him.
He was the third string center for the Spurs for the last couple of years. the most I heard his name ever talked about by NBA people was when Tim Duncan was carrying him out of a club at the end of after they got knocked out of the playoffs last year. Sylvia, what do you think are the keys for the Heat to walking out of the Palace at Auburn Hills with the W tonight?
Well, they have to continue doing what they're doing, you know, for the entire team to contribute like they did the last game. Everybody contributed. Even if it's 2 points, they contributed. So they need to continue as they've been doing all throughout the season, rebounds, and for the love of God, less turnovers. That's been their issue all season long. Not careless with the ball, you know, especially Dragic. I've been saying it all season long. He's just careless with the ball because he's too quick. You know, he doesn't have control of the ball. That happens to every point guard, you know. If you're too quick, you can't control the ball at some point.
All right.
So rebound
all right.
and careless of the ball.
Okay. Now, we're going to be headed out real quick. Let me get what you two's predictions of the game are going to be, starting with Stephanie.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Miami Heat are going to win this one with a close game. I'm going to say 99-100.
Okay. And Sylvia, what do you think?
I'm going to say just because the Detroit Pistons have lost the last two games, I'm going to say 95.
And I'm guessing that score is in the Heat's favor?
Yeah, the Heat favor, yes. I'm sorry. Heat will win. Yes, 110.
All right. Well, Vegas seems to be leaning more towards Stephanie's thinking with the game. They've got the Pistons as favorites by 1.5 points. I personally think that this is going to be a game decided in the last 30 seconds. And both of these teams have great defenses, so I'm going to go with a score closer to, like, 93-92. And I hate to say it, but I think that the home crowd gives the Pistons enough to walk out of here with the W. All right.
Now,
be sure to join Sylvia and I at 11 p.m. for MSL Radio's Miami Heat postgame show as we break down the game. Real quick, Stephanie and Sylvia, why don't you let everybody know where to find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me at Sakura, SAKURA, _ Steph309.
You can follow me at Coach Guevara, that's GUEBARA 205.
You can follow me at JILORI _22. And be sure to follow and tweet at our station at 305 Sports and Life. Again, at 305 Sports and Life, enjoy the game. The heat is on.